You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Amen. You may have a seat. Thank you, John and praise team this morning. I appreciate you. You know, they put in a lot of time and effort to get these Sunday morning sets ready to go, and I appreciate each one of them for their faithfulness and ask that God would bless them accordingly. Now, this morning, in your Bibles, we'll begin in Matthew chapter 6. We'll go to another passage in the book of Luke also, but we'll stay in the Gospels this morning. Again, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. I want to start off by asking a question. At Highland Baptist Church, this congregation, whether you're a member or an attender or a visitor, this is the first time you've ever been here. Do you want the pastor to preach the entire Word of God? A couple of you. Let me ask again. Do you want the pastor, y'all got nervous, or a preacher to preach the entire Word of God? Okay. You said it, not me. Because we're going to hit difficult subjects over the next 3 weeks, starting today. Last week, we focused on some of the things that we should do in a New Year's and how New Year's resolutions are fine and they're good, they're commendable, they're positive, losing weight, you know, quit a bad habit, any of those things. And there was one I really wanted to throw in there, but I'm saving it for today and the next 2 weeks after this. Today, we're going to talk about money. I counted it up. This is like my 82nd or 83rd Sunday morning to preach at Highland. I can't believe it's been that many, but I counted it up. Not one has had money as the subject, the main subject. So I don't want you going away today saying that preacher, all he wants is my money. False. I haven't brought it up hardly at all, and it's never been the main subject. So don't say that, because you're being unfair. Amen, brother. That's good preaching. All right. but what does Jesus, did Jesus ever mention money? Did you know 15% of the subject matter that Jesus spoke about in the Gospels deals with money? Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven. Now, when I preach about heaven, people get fired up. But Jesus said a lot about money. I'll give you a quick rundown of the things that Jesus said about money, and then we'll get into it a little bit this morning. Jesus said we are to support the Lord's work through religious institutions. We are to pay our taxes. With our money, we are to help the poor and needy. With money, we are to meet our family needs, and we're also to exercise wisdom in our purchases. But we are not to depend on money, but instead depend on God. We are not hoarders, we are to invest our money in others. And if we are so blessed to have a good amount of money, we are not to lord money over others, and it's not to be a prideful thing. That's just a quick synopsis of the things that Jesus said about money. Now, why is money such a not taboo, but a difficult topic to talk about in church? There's a couple of reasons. In many cases, there is a perception that money has been abused by those that stand in the pulpit. Right? Let me tell you this. Let me give you just a little snippet into the guy that's standing in the pulpit today. I think that your giving, your tithing and your offerings and all of that, I honestly think that is between you and God. I do not look and see who gives what here at Highland Baptist Church. That's for my own conscience sake. But I hope that doesn't give you a whole lot of comfort, because I hope you realize that you will face God and not Kevin on how you deal with money. Amen? I don't look. I don't want to know. I don't think it's my business. I think it's God's business. And if you're more worried about if I'm looking than God's looking, I don't know what to tell you beyond that. I heard a guy one time on the radio. I don't listen to a whole lot of preachers on the radio unless I know exactly who it is. But I was listening to a guy years ago on the radio, and he was preaching, and it was pretty solid, everything that I heard. I was just in and out listening, not super invested in it. And at the end of his teaching there on the radio, of course, there was a live sermon, but then he came in from the studio or a recording, and he made a pitch for money, which is okay. Things cost money. Ministry costs money, okay? But he said, if you're going to a church and you don't like the preacher, why don't you send your money my way instead of your church's way? If you don't like the preacher, that's fine. And that's fine if that guy was biblical and a true minister of the gospel. I don't mind you donating to his money. But if you hold on to it because of the preacher, your heart's not in the right place. And I'll say this, I am fully aware, 100% aware, that one day I'll face God and I'll have to give account for the way that I helped direct this church's finances. That whole scripture about those who teach who are held to stricter judgment, to harsher judgment, I think there's an element of the money involved in that too. I'm aware that that's on me, okay? I don't go out of my way to anger the creator of the universe. That's one reason it's such a difficult topic and subject, is because there is a feeling, and y'all, amen, y'all agree, there is a feeling, there's a perception that the pulpit has abused money in the past. Not necessarily here at Highland specifically, but in the greater whole, you know that it's happened. And it has happened. But you know what? If you give what you're supposed to give and you give what God has put on your heart to give, you're fine. If that guy did something that was incorrect, guess who that's on? That's on him and not you. The second one is this. Here's the second reason we don't like to talk about it. And here's where I'm preaching to myself. The numbers say, statistically, most of us are not submitting to God in our finances. And that's the one that really hurts me. That most of us, and this is a battle that I've dealt with in my own life, okay? This is not one of those sermon series where I'm pointing my finger at you. I'm preaching to myself. I may listen to this tomorrow on the website again, just for my own benefit. Statistically, the numbers say we are not submitting to God biblically in our finances. Let's read Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 19. Very familiar passage. And this is, if you have one of those Bibles, this is red letters, which means Jesus is saying this. So if you don't like it, take it up with him. Matthew chapter 6. Y'all said y'all wanted the preacher to preach the whole Bible. So here we go. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus, not necessarily just contained in this passage, but Jesus several times teaches us that money is the doorway that leads to all kinds of idolatry. We need to get this out of the way too. There's a really misquoted scripture in the Bible that people sometimes forget, and they'll say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, it's greed is the root of all evil. Some of the wealthiest people that I know are some of the most giving people I know. And some of the poorest people I know are the stingiest people I know. That's all a matter of the heart. See how I tied that in with the sermon title? It's not having money that's wrong. It's being greedy about it. It's hoarding it just for you. Okay? Jesus knew that money was a foundational indicator of where our heart is. If you're in business, and I don't really have a lot of business acumen or a business mind so much, But when my father, he owned a real estate company, or maybe you own a business, or maybe you're in charge of the finances at your business, what's the bottom line when you try to statistically show how well or how poorly your business is doing? What do you look at? Money. You try to see, oh, did we make money or did we lose money? That much I know about business, okay? Don't hire me to be your CFO, but I know that much about it. If we're making a lot of money, seems like business is doing well. If we're hemorrhaging money, if we're losing money, maybe we're not doing so hot in the financial department. Do you know Jesus did the same thing for us? He knows that the way we treat money is a foundational indicator of where our heart is. Guilty as charged from the pulpit right here. That's a hard thing for me to hear. How I treat my money is the baseline indicator in many ways of where my heart is. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Money can be used, listen to this, Christian, money can be used to buy things that do not satisfy. Are you a, what do they call it? Are you an impulsive shopper? You had no intention of going into the store and buying a candy bar when you walked in. But why do they put the candy bar, why is the Kit Kat and the Twix right there at the checkout? Because they know you came in to get milk and eggs and all of those things that you needed, paper towels, that type of stuff. But when you're checking out and you're in line, why do they have 47 registers and three of them open and there's 100 people in each one? Because they know that as you're meandering through the line, man, there's that Kit Kat. And some of us will partake in said candy. Well, we had no intention of buying candy when we went in there. We're impulse buyers. And so you eat the candy, it was good, you enjoyed it, it's over, and now you regret it. I certainly didn't need that Kit Kat. When we were in Texas over Christmas, I think it was everybody's goal that we saw to feed me constantly. Every house we went to, I was like, please stop feeding me. I've had enough. No amens on that, please. But we buy things that we think we really need and or we want, but we got it. So let's pay for it. Let's buy it and let's see if it'll satisfy us. There have been so many things in my life, not necessarily any huge purchases. I think God has been gracious and steered me other directions. But there have been things in my life I was convinced if I bought this, I'd just be a little happier. And you know what? It brought no satisfaction to me whatsoever. It's okay to buy things that you want every now and then. I'm not bashing that. But man, sometimes if you're looking to buy things in order to satisfy us, that I need these things to be happy, or I need these things to be content, remember what the Lord said. If you have clothing, if you have the basic necessities, be content with those things. Okay? Money buys things that don't satisfy. Okay, we've already talked about, I skipped ahead, we've already talked about how money is the bottom line issue in business and even in our spiritual walk. Where our treasure is, our heart will follow. Jesus knew the grip money has on our hearts. How about this one? Our bank balance can affect our mood. I really wish I was looking in the mirror when I said that, because I need that as much as anybody. Our bank balance can affect our mood. When I was a teenager, I got my driver's license in 1996. My dad bought me a 1986 red and black S10. It wasn't the newest or sharpest vehicle in the high school parking lot, but I was proud of it. It got me from point A to point B. If I hit the blinker to turn left, the windshield wipers would go. My buddy Jason was in the passenger side one time, and we were driving down the road, and it was hot, and instead of turning on the air conditioner, he said, let's roll down the windows. So he starts rolling down the windows, and that passenger side window falls all the way down into the door. It wasn't the sharpest thing around, but it ran You know, it got me from point A to point B, like I said. But do you know what dictated my mood as a teenager? Was how much gasoline was in that truck. Because I didn't have to pay for the truck, I didn't pay for the insurance, but the gas was on me most of the time. So when I was driving around and I had over half a tank, I was golden. I was good. But when it got low, man, I only may have a few bucks to my name at this point. What am I gonna do? Well, I would be bummed out. And I wouldn't go certain places because I didn't have enough gas, and I had to make the choice of, do I put gas in it, or do I stay home and hold on to this extra couple bucks for a little bit? But it literally, and to my shame, it literally affected my mood by how much gasoline was in my truck. So many of us, our bank balance will affect our mood. We eat way differently on payday than we do at the end of the month, don't we? But it'll affect our mood. Now, knowing what you know about the Lord and knowing what you know about the Bible, is that biblical? To let the amount of money you have in the bank to affect your well-being and your mood? That's not biblical. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Here's the guy we'll read about that we call him the rich young ruler. Luke chapter 18. And we'll start reading in verse 18. And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." When you think about the rich young ruler, hardly any of us today, if any of us, maybe none of us, would claim to be rich. I found a website a while back. It confirmed something that I knew, and I can't remember the name of it, or I would suggest that you go to it. But you can put in what you make, what your salary is. You can do by the month or by the year, by the week, whatever. And it will tell you what percentage where you sit worldwide is in terms of wealth. So I go in there, Mr., you know, middle class American or whatever you want to call it, and I put in my salary, and lo and behold, percentage wise, when you consider the entire world, I am fairly wealthy. I have a good house. It's got heat. It's got an AC when it gets hot. I eat every day, and I pay my bills. I don't worry where my next meal is coming from. There you go. That's the definition of wealth. Now, have I had a pity party before in my adult life and said, "Man, if I just made X, Y, and Z, I'd be so much better off"? I've said that. Maybe not out loud because I'd be ashamed, but I've said it in my heart. The study a couple years ago said people that make $50,000 a year said they'd be perfectly fine if they made $75,000 a year. And those that made $75,000 a year, man, if they just made $90,000 a year, they'd be perfectly fine. Is the issue with those folks, is the issue really how much is in the bank, or is it right here in their heart, the foundational indicator of where their heart is? You want to find out what's important to you? Look at your bank statements. See where you spend money. I would be embarrassed, and I don't want to know how much money I have spent as an adult on going out to eat? I don't want to know. I'm making a lot of food references this morning. Maybe I got another problem. But I don't want to know that. I really don't. I would literally be ashamed if I found out that number, it summed it up. I wouldn't share it with anybody because it would kill me inside. Nothing wrong with going out to eat. I'm not condemning that at all. I'm just saying, have I been as frugal as I should have been throughout my life with those things? This rich young man, and again, you don't consider yourself rich, but most of us by the world standards are pretty wealthy. This rich man asked Jesus, he said, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Hey, you know the commandments?" And he gives him a handful of them. And you see what the rich young ruler does here? Sticks his chest out. "Since I was young, I've kept all of these commandments." He was patting himself on the back. If somebody were to ask you, let's put you in the Lord's shoes here. If the rich young ruler came to you and said, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" What would you say? Well, you might give them the Roman road or the ABCs of salvation, and all, obviously those things are good. But after Jesus answers the question, and the ruler says, "Hey, I've done all of these. I've kept all of these from my youth up. Since I was a kid, I've kept all of these." And then Jesus said, very astutely, "Go sell everything you have." Why did Jesus say that to this particular person? Because he knew what this man's hang-up was, and it was his money. He said, "Go sell it, or go give it away. Give it to somebody. Buy things for poor and needy folks." And did the rich young ruler go and do that? Did he go get rid of everything? No, the Bible says that he walked away, and he was upset. He was moral-wise, maybe legalistic-wise, he was a good person. He kept all of these commandments. But he wasn't willing to give his entire heart to Jesus because he wanted to hang on to his wealth. Think about another man in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Remember Zacchaeus? What happened when Zacchaeus gave his heart to Jesus? He restored all the things that he had stolen from people inappropriately as a tax collector. He gave it all back and then some. It's not the issue of money itself. Does Jesus need your money? No. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His resources are unlimited. But what the problem is, or what the issue really is our heart. I really hate to say it, but I see myself as, again, I don't necessarily consider myself wealthy, but I see myself as the rich young ruler. If Jesus were to say to me, "Obey your mother and father," I'm good with that, Jesus, all day long. "Treat people well," Jesus, I got you. I've been doing that for a long time. "Don't commit adultery." "Don't steal." Jesus, again, I'm good to go on those things. Thank you very much. Okay, Kevin. How have you done with your finances? How have you done with your money? Again, ashamedly, embarrassingly, I have too much in common with the rich young ruler in this story. I'd be upset. I had a real conversation with the Lord because I'll be honest, this money stuff, as far as preaching a couple weeks on it, has been on my heart for a long time. And I did not want to do it. But you know what happens when you wrestle with God? There's a winner and a loser. And I lost. But you know what? He's done something in the last month. This is, what's today, the 10th? He has done something in the last month in my heart when it comes to finances. He's made a huge change in me. He's changed my attitude. Do I trust in money? No. If somebody were to try to steal my identity, they'd laugh, feel sorry for me, and move on, okay, after they saw those things. But you know what? I've learned to depend on God and not let that bank balance affect my mood. Why? Jesus said we are to be good stewards of this money. There's no doubt about that. But he said, your reliance is on him. What did he say also in Matthew chapter 6? The good luck Christian, you're going to starve to death. No, he said, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. Has Jesus ever failed on one of his promises? Not once. Am I telling you what to do with your money? I'm just telling you what the Bible says about money. We'll do it for a couple more weeks, okay? Come on back, okay? We'll keep it lighthearted and fun and all of that type of stuff. But be honest with yourself. Have you given your whole heart to the Lord? Say, Jesus, I say this all the time, Jesus, I trust you with my eternity. If I were to drop dead in the next 3 minutes, I have no doubt in my mind that heaven would be my home because of the grace of Jesus Christ. No doubt in my mind. So if I trust Jesus with my eternity, can I trust him with my wallet? Why is it easier for me to trust him with my eternity than it is my wallet sometimes? It has nothing to do with the bank. It's all a matter of the heart. It's all what's in right here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you today for being the Lord. I want to thank you for coming up with this stuff on your own, and that we can trust you in our finances. God, this is not a fun topic for any of us to talk about. It's the elephant in the room. But I want to be faithful to you, and I want to discuss these things. And I don't come from a stance of judgment or condescending or anything of that matter, because I need this as much as anybody does, because I know myself better than I know anybody else in this room. And it's a matter of the heart. God, I know that you are faithful and will bless those who are faithful in their giving. I don't necessarily think that the Bible teaches that we'll all be wealthy if we give or anything like that, but you'll take care of us. But God, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that they'll have the same revelation that I've had in the last month in regards to finances. Or that they can put their entire trust in you. And this is a matter of the heart. It doesn't matter that I don't see it, because I don't want to see it. Nobody's checking up. Nobody's comparing numbers when it comes to giving here at the church. Well, God, that's not where our heart should be anyway. Our heart should be that God sees this and God knows our heart. Lord, in the United States of America, it's very easy for us to forget how blessed we are. We fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with others, and we see folks on social media and they're taking all of these extravagant trips and all of that, and we ask ourselves, God, how come I can't do those things? The truth is, you don't know how they're paying for those things. God, you've given them some good amounts of cash, others little. But our job is to be faithful with what we've been given. And that is a matter of the heart. Today, I don't worry about bank balances. Today, I worry about our hearts. And have we given them entirely to you? We've wrestled with this for a long time. And I continue losing. Maybe I'm at the point now where I'm broken enough to say, okay, God, I give you all of this. There may be some in the room today that maybe just need what I've been needing. And they needed a reminder. They needed somebody to talk to them without pulling any punches and to just be honest about this subject matter. Yeah, there may be some in here that don't even know you personally as Savior. God, that too is a matter of the heart. Lord, I have no doubt in my mind that when you died on the cross, you died for everybody that ever will walk this earth. God, I also know that anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, I don't think there is a branch here or there. I don't think there's a select few. I don't think it's just for the Baptist. I think salvation is for anybody. Anybody that will acknowledge their sin and give it to you and ask for forgiveness. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that you would convict them and that it would be the kindness of God that leads them to repentance. Lord, please let us as Christians to trust our wallets, or to give our wallets to you, I should say, as much as we trust you with our eternity.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.